fallible me is fallible me.
Let me ask you a tough one that I've certainly got a lot of questions on. And fans talk about rumors of trouble.
Miami. So, very tragic and sad, but hopefully they can rebuild and get their stuff back. And there's some very interesting stuff on why people build in these kind of unsuitable places. At least in the United States, there's an interesting history with that. There's been an attack in Egypt. Attack kills 8 Egyptian troops in the Sinai. A roadside bomb exploded in the restive northern part of the Sinai Peninsula, killing 8 members of Egypt's security forces, including an officer, while 6 others were wounded. The troops were riding an armored vehicle when the bomb went off in New Raqqa.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
We're barely on the second story, my friend. Chill out. It's going to be okay.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
We will get to a song shortly. The troops were riding in an armored vehicle when the bomb went off in New Raqqa, a town on the border with the Gaza Strip, said officials, who spoke on condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to speak. The wounded, who suffered serious injuries, were transferred to a military hospital in the nearby Mediterranean city of El Arish late on Thursday. The armed group ISIL, or ISIS, claimed responsibility for the attack in a statement on the ISIL-affiliated website. In a similar attack last month, ISIL fighters ambushed a checkpoint in the town of Sheikh Zuwaid, killing at least 5 troops and wounding at least 6 others. Egypt's been battling armed groups in northern Sinai for years. Violence and instability there intensified after the 2013 military coup that removed Mohamed Morsi, an elected but divisive president, amid nationwide protests against his brief rule. The fighters have carried out numerous attacks, mainly targeting Egyptian security forces, minority Christians, and those who they accuse of collaborating with the military and police. So, this is unfortunate spilling over there, but that's what's happening. What else is going on? This is a bit of a bummer. We talk about a lot of stuff going on in Africa. One of the things that doesn't crop up all that time, but there's a lot of strong anti-LGBTQ stuff going on. The United Human Rights Council opposes Ghana's anti-gay bill. In Ghana, a highly religious country that claims to be exemplary in Africa in its respect for human rights, a handful of opposition MPs are putting the president in a difficult position by promoting a law restricting the rights of sexual minorities. Same-sex relationships are banned in the West African nation, but no one has ever been prosecuted under this colonial-era law. However, LGBT plus people are widely discriminated against in Ghana. In early August, a bill was introduced in Parliament to further restrict the rights of these people. It includes criminalizing the defense of LGBT rights plus rights, a duty to report suspects, the promotion of conversion therapy, and the imposition of harsher prison sentences. If the bill is passed by Parliament, President Nana Akufo-Addo could either sign it into law or veto it. The international community and rights activists have widely condemned the bill, which was submitted to Parliament by 7 opposition MPs and 1 member of the presidential party. Passing this law, in its current or even partial form, would violate a significant number of human rights.
Do you hear any drops while we're broadcasting this show so we can compile it in with the report? But hello, welcome. Also shout out to X1 in comm chat. If you want to chat during the show, all you gotta do is SSH over to sdf.org. And then once you're there, log in, just type comm, C-O-M, press enter. You'll type G for go to, and then type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word. And boom, you will be in the Anon Radio room. Live with LCD. So we'll see what happens. It might be bandwidth constraint on the server, which would be kind of interesting. You never know. But anyway, thanks for being here live, and thanks for hanging out. It's always a good time. We've got not as much death and destruction as yesterday, thank goodness. We can only have so many multiple day mass shooting events before it just gets really heavy, man. And then we got to play a lot more music. But today is May 9th, so I've got an update first for you. You remember we've talked about the Jesus cult in Kenya that's been, the people are starving themselves so that they'll die and they can meet Jesus. Well, a group of people who were killed in a forest in southeastern Kenya by an evangelical sect that practices extreme fasting have had their organs removed from some of their bodies, according to a court document seen by AFP. More than 100 bodies, including a majority of children, have so far been found in the investigation, the revelation of which has caused horror and incomprehension in this religious country. According to autopsies performed on 112 bodies, most of the victims died of hunger, which is what they were going for, probably after following the preaching of Paul McKenzie, a self-proclaimed pastor of the International Church of Good News, who advocated fasting to meet Jesus. Some of the victims, including children, were strangled, beaten, or suffocated. The head of forensic operations, Dr. Johansson Odor, said last week, autopsy reports have noted missing organs on some of the bodies of victims that have so far been exhumed. So, yeah. So that's the sad update. They weren't just starving to death. Sometimes they were killed and then their organs harvested. So that's a little bit of an update for you. Meanwhile, in Palestine, Israel is dropping bombs again. Adib al-Rabi had just fallen asleep in his home in Gaza City when he was awakened by the sound of bombing in the early hours of Tuesday. I thought I was dreaming until I realized that the bombing was on my building, the 60-year-old lawyer said. Israel had launched air raids on several areas across the Gaza Strip, killing at least 13 people, including 6 women and 4 children, according to the Palestinian Ministry of Health. Among the dead were 3 members of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement. It's a civilian residential building, al-Rabi said, standing in front of the bombed 6-story building. Israeli missiles hit the 4th, 5th, and 6th floors, which were partially destroyed. Civilians live in those apartments, women and children. With no warning, al-Rabi said, Israeli occupation meant to destroy and kill those in the building. An Israeli military spokesman told reporters the attacks had been to target PIJ members, adding, we are aware of some collateral and will learn more as the day goes ahead. So after the noon prayers, thousands of mourners in a funeral procession through the heart of Gaza City started at the Omari Mosque, where they chanted as they lifted the bodies of the victims, promising revenge for the major crime committed. So one guy was mourning because his sister, 21 and 17, were killed. And the attacks were apparently targeting 44-year-old Khalil al-Batini, a PIJ member who was killed along with his wife and his 5-year-old daughter. Dania and Aman were the collateral damage. So, yeah. And then it goes on to kind of outline who else was hurt. Let's see. Jeff is flooding Calm because he can, I guess. Let's see. Quentin comes back to Calm for us selling organs. Yeah, Jeff figured out a hack for flooding Calm. I'm going to use that next time. Let's see. Tobe has come back. Welcome back. A dose would likely smell more like 1,000 connections per second. Oh, a DOS, yeah. Jeff appears to also be interested. anyway, there's a lot of stuff going on. There's discussion in Calm just because we were having that technical problem. So we'll keep on going with the news. But yeah, anyway. Israel doing Israel things. In Sudan, at least 16 more people are dead in an ethnic clash. At least 16 people have been killed in clashes between the Hausa and Nuba groups, Sudan's Sunna News Agency reported on Tuesday, prompting the governor to declare a curfew in White Nile State, which borders South Sudan. The state, which stretches from Khartoum to the southern border, has so far been spared the recent war between the two rival generals who have been in charge since their 2021 putsch, which has left hundreds dead, mainly in the capital and in Darfur. The ethnic violence is not related to the power struggle in Sudan. So this is just another different random act of violence happening over here. Conflicts between communities regularly erupt in Sudan over access to water and land, vital for farmers and herders, and often from rival ethnic groups, while a large number of weapons are in circulation after decades of war. So, a bit of a sadness there, but that is what's going on. Keep on a rolling. It's kind of funny how 16 dead is like, okay, and 16 people died, okay. But then if one person dies, we focus in so much more on it. Like this story. A Louisiana man is accused of shooting a girl playing hide-and-seek. I guess he found her. A Louisiana man faces aggravated assault and battery charges after firing a gun at children who were playing hide-and-seek outside his home, wounding a 14-year-old girl, according to a local sheriff's office. The girl suffered a gunshot wound to the back of the head early Sunday and was taken to a hospital with injuries that were not considered life-threatening. Wow, that's really lucky if it was the back of her head and not life-threatening. The Calcasieu Parish Sheriff's Office said in a statement posted on social media Monday, David Doyle, 58, remained in the Calcasieu Parish Correctional Center on Tuesday morning. His bond was set at $300,000, and he has been assigned a public defender. Neither an attorney at the public defender's office nor the local district attorney immediately returned phone calls. Investigators learned that several children were playing hide-and-seek in the Starks community and were hiding on the neighbor's property. Doyle told detectives that he got his gun when he saw shadows outside his home and shot at people he saw running away, unknowingly hitting the girl. It's the latest in a series of shootings sparked by seemingly trivial circumstances. So, just tons of fun. Let's see what goes on here. Publius points out, yeah, if one person dies, it's a tragedy. If 1,000, it's a statistic. Sad but true. Sad but true. Sorry, Quentin. We talk about death and destruction enough. We end up, sometimes we end up with some morbid jokes. Sorry about that. In Utah, author of a children's book on grief has been charged with murdering her husband. A Utah woman who recently published a children's book on losing a parent has been charged with murdering her husband, the father of her three children. Well, wouldn't you know? At least she thought ahead. Corey Richens, 33, of Commas, Utah, a town outside Salt Lake City, allegedly poisoned her husband with a lethal dose of fentanyl slipped into a drink, according to authorities. Eric had 5 times the lethal dose in his body when he died on March 4, 2022. Corey was arrested Monday at her home on the counts of murder, as well as possession of a controlled substance with the intent to distribute. She could face life in prison or the death penalty if convicted of murder. Court records show that Eric had told friends and family before his death that he believed his wife was trying to poison him. On Valentine Day, a few weeks before his death, Eric became violently ill after having dinner with Corey, breaking out in hives and having trouble breathing until he used his EpiPen. Corey allegedly bought $900 worth of fentanyl pills before this dinner, and she would later buy $900 more pills before his death. He warned them if anything happened to him, she was to blame. Warrants obtained by investigators on the case alleged that the couple had argued over purchasing a $2 million home that Corey wanted to remodel, but Eric thought was too expensive. So, the night of his death, Corey told law enforcement officials that they were celebrating the purchase of the home, though her husband had told family members they would not be buying it. She said that she and Eric had taken a shot of alcohol and consumed a gummy bear, THC gummy. She told officers her son was experiencing night terrors and she fell asleep in his bedroom. When she returned to the room she shared with Eric around 3 a.m., he was cold to the touch. On March 5, 2023, almost exactly a year after Eric's death, Corey published a book titled Are You With Me?, which according to the book's description is written to create peace and comfort for children who have lost a loved one. Oh, so she didn't plan ahead. She wrote the book after she killed him, I guess. Anyway, that's going on in Utah there for you. Jay Lamoth points out, apparently running away is a threatening thing to do. It seems like a good idea. Don't just shoot at random people on your property. Don't be so scared of your neighbors that you're going to shoot them as soon as they appear. It's not a good way to live. It's a sad way to live. Speaking of a sad way to live, you remember that shooting we talked about yesterday? Well, I got to be more specific, I guess. In Allen, Texas, at the shopping mall, there was a shooting, and a lot of people were killed. 8 people were killed. Well, a little silver lining, I guess. A GoFundMe campaign has topped $1.2 million for a 6-year-old boy. I don't know how much GoFundMe's cut is. One of my friends, their husband recently died, and they did a GoFundMe for $5,000, which is how much the funeral was going to cost. And they had to raise the amount to like $7,000 or something because GoFundMe took like almost $1,000 of their dollars. Anyway, they're using GoFundMe. It topped $1.2 million for a 6-year-old boy who was the only member of a Korean-American family to survive a mass shooting at a mall in Allen, Texas. Cindy Cho, Q Cho, and their children William and James went shopping. William is the one that survived, James not so much. It's pretty sad, but The campaign adds the GoFundMe is being created to help their family. Please share this link. And it has $1.2 million raised. All 8 victims of Saturday's horror shooting have been identified and their families notified. The motive for the attack remains unknown, but investigators said to be probing Garcia's possible neo-Nazi and white supremacist ideologies. It's pretty well hashed out now that he was like a white supremacist guy. He had this right-wing death squad patch on his jacket while he was killing people. Pretty gross. Check with Com real quick. This gun ain't gonna shoot itself, Quentin says. It's always the gun nuts who say they don't want to live in fear, and then they shoot at everything that moves, using that they felt threatened as a defense. Yeah, Jalen, that's a good idea. So enough about people. How about we go backwards in time and resume animal testing? Yeah, I guess that's going to be allowed. The government has allowed animal testing for makeup ingredients to resume, despite a 25-year ban. It changed a policy on animal testing to align with EU chemical rules, according to a high court ruling. The high court said on Friday that the government was acting legally after a case was brought by animal rights activists. More than 80 brands have said they are dismayed by the government's new position. A Home Office spokesperson told the BBC, "We are pleased that the high court has agreed with the government's position in this case. The government is committed to the protection of animals and science." Animal testing for makeup or its ingredients had been completely banned in the UK since 1998. Animal testing had only been allowed if the benefits gained from the research outweighed any suffering, for example, for medicines. But in 2020, the European Chemicals Agency, an EU agency which oversees chemical regulation, ruled that companies needed to test some ingredients used in cosmetics on animals to ensure they were safe for workers manufacturing the ingredients. So it's not to test to make sure the makeup is safe, it's to test to make sure that the chemicals are safe to be made by people. A very interesting position. let's see what's going on here. The shooter in Allen was also a known Proud Boy member. In the right-wing death squad patch. Whose government? In the UK. The UK government. We're talking from the BBC. Sorry about that. essentially, the thing was is that chemicals go into makeup, but they don't know if those chemicals are safe unless they do tests, and they don't want to test on people, so they test on animals to make sure that they know whether or not the chemicals that they're handling are safe. So seems to be the thing. Hey, GTC 1977, long time no see. Welcome. So that's what's going on in animal testing. But that's not the only animal news we have today. Good news. Chlamydia, the clap. Nobody likes it. It's a sexually transmitted infection or disease or whatever you want, a venereal disease, whatever you're used to calling it. It's no fun. You got to go get a shot. It's a whole deal. Well, you know what, though? If you're a koala bear, you don't have to worry about it. Australian scientists have begun vaccinating wild koalas against chlamydia in an ambitious field trial in New South Wales. The aim is to test a method for protecting the beloved marsupials against a widespread disease that causes blindness, infertility, and death. It's killing koalas because they become so sick they can't climb trees to get food or escape predators, and females become infertile, said Samuel Phillips, a microbiologist at the University of the Sunshine Coast. The scientists' initial goal is to catch, vaccinate, and monitor around half of the koala population in the Northern Rivers region of New South Wales. That means vaccinating around 50 animals. The safety and effectiveness of the single-shot vaccine, which has been designed specifically for koalas, has previously been tested by vaccinating a few hundred koalas brought to a wildlife rescue. Now scientists want to understand the impact of vaccinating a population of wild koalas. So the first batch was caught in March, and the effort's expected to last about 3 months. Researchers use binoculars to spot koalas in trees, then construct circular enclosures around the tree bases with doors leading into cages. After a few hours or days, the koalas will eventually climb down from one tree to seek leaves on another and wander into the trap. It's hard to confuse a koala with any other animal. They're pretty easy to spot, said Jody Wakerman, a veterinarian care and clinical director at Friends of the Koala. After a checkup to make sure the animals are in good condition, researchers administered administer anesthesia and a shot of vaccine, then keep them under observation for 24 hours. So, so avoid chlamydia, become a koala. It is endemic in koala land, Pulis is correct. Does this count as animal testing? I don't know. Let's see. We should totes test on humans before koalas. There are a lot more humans. And Publius points out, Forever War was a novel by Joe Haldeman. Not sure why, but bringing that up. We are at 5 minutes before the end of the show, so I want to remind you that at 19:30 UTC, every goddamn day, is the Dubious Skulls Committee with Tope, a fun show right here on Anon Radio, every day, Monday through Monday. Tope puts in a lot of effort into this show, and it's a lot of fun, so check it out. Just stick around. Just in a few minutes, it'll be a good time. So, wanted to be sure you know that every goddamn day. EGDD. Tope points out, because Haldeman is great. Also, Jayla Moth points out, humans can consent to testing while other creatures cannot. At least we don't know how they would be able to consent. This is great. One of my friends, they went to renew their registration, and the state decided to change their last name for them. They've never used this last name, but it is their mother's last name, but they have a different last name than their mother. And so it's very funny, because he just got his renewal back in the mail, and wouldn't you know it, he's got his mom's last name on that registration. So now he's going to have a whole bunch of headache to get that fixed. Anyway, that's not really news. Let's go into it. Let's talk about nuclear stuff. We've got a bunch of news, but let's talk about cool stuff. We don't have time. I'm going to just toss these out. Morocco, we talked about solar collectors and how you could set up a solar plant with mirrors to reflect light into a central point and melt salt and use that to boil water. Well, Morocco is going to try and do that because they want to sell that energy to Europe, ignoring their own energy needs. They're going to generate this energy just to ship it out. There is a very cool article I want to share with you from science.org about using mushrooms to cool things. Mushrooms like to be 1 to 10 degrees cooler than their surroundings. And so if you put some mushrooms in a box and put a fan inside the box, you could actually use it like a little cooler. It'll cool things down about 10 degrees C. But I don't have time to read it. So here's a link at sdf.org/L/RZ. That's sdf.org/Lima/RomeoZulu. sdf.org/L/RZ for the mushroom story. Anyway, the nuclear stuff is not super exciting. It's kind of more of an update. Sweden is being commended for its radioactive waste management. Sweden has demonstrated a solid commitment to ensuring the safe implementation of nuclear radioactive waste and used fuel management, including its efforts towards establishing a deep geological facility. An International Atomic Energy Agency team of experts has concluded. So, way to go, Sweden. Wanted to be sure and shout out for this. Mushrooms are full of water, and so they are good little regulators that way. So that's how they work, Jalemoth. They're using water. Bye, Claudia Wynn. See you on the flip side. We've got less than a couple seconds to go, so I guess that's all. Enjoy the Dubious Skulls Committee with Tope. I'll be back tomorrow, hopefully with more news. And, yeah, I guess that's it. There's 2 new satellites. I'll talk about them tomorrow because they're pretty cool. A weather satellite and one that was knitted. Pretty wild. Shout out to Publis and everyone else. See you later. Pew, pew, pew. Pew, pew, pew. Dubious Calls Committee time. It's time for the Dubious Calls. Hey. My sound's not playing.